Let me ask that you take your Bibles out once again, turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, as we study the sacred words of God to the church, verses 22 through 35. Title this message, God-Given Joy. Do you feel joyful today? If you don't, what's stealing it? There's a lot of things that would steal our joy. Amen? There are. And so I want to give you the reason to be joyful today, and that is found in Christ Jesus. And that's our main lesson that we take from the text this morning. The birth of the Messiah brings joy to the world. You could personalize that and say, the birth of the Messiah brings joy to me. Brings joy to me. A couple of Sundays ago, right before service started, Aaron came to me and said, Dad, you can tell everybody that we're expecting a baby. And that caught me by surprise. And I was like, man, that is awesome. I just wish I had a little bit of time to rehearse what I wanted to say. And so at the end of the service, you could tell that I was full of joy because I announced that Aaron and Grayson were going to have their first grandson or first granddaughter. Now, you guys were kind. I know y'all heard me say that, but y'all are very kind, and you didn't say anything to me. But when I got home and we were eating lunch, everybody told me what I had said. And I thought, oh, well, I did say that, didn't I? Well, let's just credit it that to being overjoyed. Sometimes when you're overjoyed, you say something you don't mean to say. But nonetheless, it is a joyful time when you can celebrate the coming birth of a granddaughter or a grandson or a son or a daughter. And sometimes it just sort of takes your words away. Today, though, we meet a man by the name of Simeon. He didn't have a grandson or a granddaughter to be excited about, but he sure bud got excited when he saw the Messiah come into the temple. And we can say his joy was overflowing as he set his eyes on the consolation of Israel, waiting his life for God to fulfill his word to him. And he couldn't help but the joy just came out through his mouth. And he announced a blessing on God and then a blessing on Mary and Joseph. You know, that's what joy does to you sometimes, doesn't it? It makes your mouth run quicker than your brain. Like it did for me. But obviously, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Simeon spoke words of delirious joy upon meeting the Messiah. And I think that's just a biblical truth that we all should have, that knowing the Messiah, there should always be a spark of joy within our hearts, no matter what the circumstances are. So as we celebrate the Messiah's birth during the Advent time, let's remember it is a joyful occasion for all of God's people, regardless of our circumstances. And just as Simeon blessed the Lord upon seeing the Messiah, let's bless him also this Advent season. All right, the first thing that we're going to look at in these verses is the devotion of the Messiah's parents to the Lord. That's what we're going to look at first, verses 22 through 24. So take your Bible and follow along with me as I read the sacred text to you this morning. This is what God's Word says to God's people. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, that is, baby Jesus. Verse 23 is sort of a footnote that John puts in there, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. That is, they shall be dedicated to the Lord as God's property. And verse 24 follows up with that, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the time that we have together, remaining here, please just open your words to us that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a taste for this, the treasure of your word. We ask that you would speak loud and clear to us through working in Simeon's life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So first, let's notice the devotion of the Messiah's parents to the law of the Lord and to the Lord of the law. The devotion to the law of the Lord is it begins in verse 21. I read to you beginning in verse 22, but we can even see their devotion in verse 21. At the end of 8 days, as was the custom and the law of the Lord, male boys were to be circumcised. And so Mary and Joseph, as they were devoted to the Lord, they had Jesus circumcised on the 8th day, as all Jewish boys were. But we must remember that Jesus' circumcision, his purification here in these verses, and his baptism are not because he's sinful, but because he was to fulfill the whole law. If you recall, at his baptism, we learn in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, that he did this not for purification, because Jesus is what? Sinless, but to fulfill all righteousness. So never forget that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was born sinless. He was born without sin, and he delighted in fulfilling the law of the Lord. Remember, he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. To the smallest detail, Jesus obeyed all the law. He fulfilled it all. And even though his earthly parents, Joseph and Mary, could not claim to be sinless, they were not, they were sinful, they still delighted in devoting themselves to obeying the Father by obeying his law. You see, I believe that the word of the Lord was in their hearts. They had been born again of the Holy Spirit. And so they devoted themselves to God by devoting themselves to obeying his word. They had Jesus circumcised, and here we see they bring him to the temple for purification and also to dedicate him to the Lord. So according to the law of God, Mary had to go through this time, this ritual of purification, according to God's word. And Jesus came to the temple also for purification. And so as a part of that, he had to be presented to the Lord, as the Bible says, is written in the law of the Lord, verse 23. So they go to the temple to fulfill all of God's word. Luke records the law here. He says, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, verse 23. So basically what God's word is telling us is that the Lord owned the firstborn of both man and animal. We learned that in Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. The Lord owned the firstborn male who broke open the womb of the mother. It was the same for animals. So here Joseph and Mary are setting the Messiah apart, giving him to the Lord. I see this sort of as we do baby dedications at Liberty. We do baby dedications to dedicate the parents and the child to the Lord. And so in the same vein here, Mary and Joseph are bringing baby Jesus to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord, as was written in the law of God. They were devoted to the law of the Lord. They dedicated their son back to him. Now, remember, Jesus was not a Levite. And because he was not a Levite, the law of the Lord said that some kind of offering had to be given to God as a payment to redeem the child back from God. Okay? So they go to the temple, they dedicate baby Jesus to the Lord, they give him to God. And then God gives them the ability then to redeem him back through a sacrifice, through an offering. And so what we read here in the scriptures in verse 24, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So what we know about the scriptures, this offering anyway, is this was the poor man and woman's offering. Because the creme de la creme of all offerings was to give a one-year-old lamb as a redemption price to the Lord. Leviticus 12:6 tells us that. But God, knowing some would not have financial means to do that, they could give either two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, what does this tell us about Mary and Joseph? It tells us they were poor. Now you say, well, whoa, wait, about what about all the presents, the gold, frankincense, the myrrh that the wise men gave them? Well, what does it tell us about that? The wise men hadn't come yet. And so this was before the wise men's visit. We know that the wise men actually didn't get there until Jesus was 2 years old or so. And so they were giving the poor redemption price back to God. Now, isn't it a bit ironic that Mary and Joseph had to redeem the Redeemer? They had to redeem the Redeemer. And so what we see here is that they were devoted to the Lord through their obedience to the law of the Lord. And what I want to, how I want to apply that is very simple, is they set the example for every parent, no matter how old your child may be or your children may be. The very first examples that they see of someone dedicated to the Lord is a godly mom and a godly dad. And for our whole life, you know, I am a parent till I die. And it's my job, my joy, that I do my best to present a godly example of what it means to be devoted to the Lord to them. And that's what we see here with Joseph and Mary. And so one theologian said, are we devoted to our Lord? And if we are, then we must obey His word. Just as Mary and Joseph were righteous and devout to the Lord, we too must also be righteous and devout to the Lord. So that's a great lesson to learn, is it not? Number two here, point number two, not only were Mary and Joseph devoted to the Lord, but we see that the devotion of Simeon to the Lord as well in verses 25 and 26. Look with me there. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, we looked at Mary and Joseph's devotion to the Lord. Now we're going to look at Simeon's devotion to the Lord. And between the three of these people, we can learn a lot of what it means to be a righteous and devout person. So, Simeon lived in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that he was righteous and devout. And the way I explain that is he loved the Lord and his actions showed it. He loved the Lord and his actions showed it. How did he love the Lord? Well, he obeyed the law of the Lord. That's what it means to be righteous. To be a devout Jew was to be one who sought to be righteous through obedience to God's word. Now, it wasn't just simply a matter of obedience, as Paul teaches us, that there are many Jews outwardly and few inwardly, but it was a matter of the heart as well. So it wasn't just all duty with no heart. I believe Simeon loved the Lord, and that's why he was devoted to the Lord. And the Bible tells us, if we love the Lord, what will we do? Obey His commands. That's what the Bible tells us. And he obeyed the Lord. And that's what devout, righteous Jews did at the time. And that's what devout, righteous Christians do today. Devout means Simeon. The actual Greek word means that he was reverent to God. He was God-fearing and he was pious. He was careful to obey, and he was careful to honor God in both word and deed with a right heart. One author said he was justified and sanctified. Justified and sanctified. He was not merely a Jew outwardly, but was inwardly a man of strong faith in God. The Bible actually tells us that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, some Christians get this wrong. Some Christians think that people weren't born again in the Old Testament. They were. They absolutely were. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus in the garden, remember? You must be born again of the Holy Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus scolded him. He said, you're a teacher of the law and you don't know this? God's never hidden this. And so I believe, as the Bible teaches us, that Simeon was born again of the Holy Spirit. That's why he was a righteous, devout man. That's why he lived in Jerusalem waiting for the Messiah to be born. He was born of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, you can't obey the law of God in a righteous way unless you are born of the Holy Spirit. And so we see here that he was born again of the Holy Spirit. And what did the Spirit do to Simeon? He revealed life-changing, life-determining truth to Simeon. In verse 26, we see that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. In other words, he wouldn't see death until he saw the Messiah. And so Luke tells us something else about Simeon, that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, that's not the consolation prize. That is the first prize that Simeon was waiting for. Simeon was waiting for the Christ. He was waiting for the Messiah. He waited there because that's what the Lord told him to do, and that he would see the Messiah before he died. Now, interestingly here, consolation is translated from the same Greek root word designated where we get Holy Spirit, paraclete, and it's designated paraclesis here, but it doesn't mean the Holy Spirit, but in the circle of meaning for this Greek word, it means instead comfort. And what is the Holy Spirit? The comforter, and he is the encourager. And so Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the one who would come and comfort God's people, the one who would come and encourage God's people, the one who would bring solace and peace to God's people. And I believe the one thing the devout Jews of his day wanted more than anything was for God to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies of Messiah coming, the consolation of Israel coming, in order to set them free from the oppression of the Roman Empire. So Simeon devoted his life to the Lord. He looked for the Messiah's entrance into the world, and he endured faithfully until God did what God said he would do. And that's what devout, righteous people do. They faithfully trust the Lord to fulfill his word. Now, number three here, the third thing we see here, you're saying, okay, Pastor, we see the devotion of Mary and Joseph, we see the devotion of Simeon, but where is this joy you're talking about? Well, that's what point three tells us. The delirious joy of Simeon after seeing the Messiah. Verses 27 through 32, look with me there. And he came in the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Can you not hear the joy in his voice? The Spirit of the Lord God was upon this Jewish man, as we've learned already. And on that particular day in history, remember, we are not reading fairy tale here. We're reading history here. And on that particular day in history, in the temple of God, which is a real place on earth, in Jerusalem, which is a real place on earth, still in existence today, the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon so as to give him clarity enough to know that he knew who he had set his eyes upon, none other than the Messiah. For God had fulfilled his word after all of those years. And once he set his eyes on the Messiah, he broke out in delirious, joyful blessing of God. You know, it says something about joy, doesn't it? Joy is something that is hard to contain. Joy is something that forces its way out of the heart, up the throat, past the tonsils, over the teeth and tongue, out the mouth. That's what real joy in Christ does. And we see that reaction, this automatic, deliriously joyful reaction once Simeon laid his eyes on the Messiah. Was it worth waiting his whole life? He would say, you better believe it. He patiently endured, and here's what happened. God richly rewarded him. And I think that's biblical. Reward follows obedience. It's just the way it is. And that's what we see here. Now, did you notice that when Simeon put his eyes on baby Jesus, he couldn't keep his hands to himself? Did you notice that? Mary and Joseph walks into the temple. This guy with a smile from ear to ear comes running up to them that they don't know who it is. And I'm sure they may have heard, maybe, just maybe, watch out for that crazy Simeon. He's been waiting around the temple all of his life. Don't let him grab your baby. Now, I'm just throwing that in there. But can't you see the character of people to do something like that to this guy? So he runs up to Mary, snatches baby Jesus out of her hands, doesn't introduce himself, nothing like that. If he did that today, what do you think would happen? He just ran up and grabbed baby Jesus like it was his own grandbaby. And the first thing he starts doing is blessing God. Do we bless God for the joy that he's brought into our life through the giving of the Messiah? Good question, isn't it? I think he had the most deliriously joyous heart that he had ever had. And he's just so overjoyed. He can't keep his hands to himself. So he grabs baby Jesus in his arms. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he starts saying this, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." When the Lord brings joy into the life of a righteously devoted, Holy Spirit-filled person, they automatically bless God. So first, notice Simeon blesses the Lord for giving him peace. God is the peace giver. God has fulfilled his word. Simeon blesses God for that. Simeon's joy was complete, and so he blesses the Lord. He's finally at peace. His time of waiting for the Messiah is done. You know, we lit the candle of peace this morning because we know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he is the one who gives peace. And if we truly want peace with God, it only comes through the Son of God. It's easier to have joy when our hearts have peace with the Lord, with our Creator. One theologian said this, about Simeon, his hope fulfilled, his joy complete, his heart at peace. Simeon was content to die. He had what Hebrew calls shalom. He is content, needs nothing else. He is completely fulfilled. All was well with his soul. And only God could do that, as he can only do that for you and me. So church family, that's a deep down joy that only the Lord can give. You know what the Bible says about the joy? Psalm 16:11 says this, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." I don't know about you, I like pleasures forevermore and joy. And only God can give that to us. So Simeon blesses the Lord for not only the peace that he's been given, but also because God fulfilled his word. He kept his promise. The Bible says, "According to your word," in verse 29, "for my eyes have seen your salvation." God fulfilled his word. And so he says of the baby Jesus, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Never forget, Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one who gives a well that springs up to eternal life. There is only one name under heaven that we can be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way, he's the truth, he's the life, and no one can come to the Father but through him. Having peace is having a relationship with our Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. And what a joyous testimony God had given Simeon. Amen? Now let me remind you too that God's given us the same testimony, has he not? We also have a truly, deliriously joyful testimony God has given to us. because he has sent the Messiah into the world. One person asked their pastor, "Pastor, what's Christmas about?" And the pastor said this, "It's about the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior, coming into the world, Emmanuel, God with us. And for that reason, each Christian, regardless of their circumstances, can be joyful." This Advent season, remember the lyrics of the old Christmas song, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room." After all, he is the reason for the season. Amen? And he's been real good to Simeon, don't you think? Amen? He's been real good to you too. Amen? Now let's bless him. Let's bless God. Amen? How can you bless him? By being a righteous and devout Christian. By not only speaking the right things, but doing the right things. By obeying the Lord with a heart of love. That's how we bless God. And so many other ways we can bless him this season. Well, I have one more point, and I'm going to try to do it in 1 minute. The last thing here we see is the daunting blessing Simeon gives to the Messiah's parents in verses 33 through 35. Look with me there. "And his father and his mother marveled at what he was said about him," that is Christ. "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Now, I wish I could end this message with a more lighthearted note, but it appears we can't. Now, that being said, it's not that we end this message with a bad note from Simeon, but just some hard truth. There's hard truth. And anytime somebody's willing to speak the hard truth to you, they are blessing the socks off of you. Okay? That's what we need more of. The hard truth of the gospel spoken out of love. That is the biggest blessing we can give anyone on this earth. So the words of Simeon, the words Simeon spoke to Mary and Joseph were what I call this daunting blessing. It was a blessing because he was speaking Holy Spirit-filled truth to them, and they needed to hear it. But it was daunting because it was hard truth to swallow. Their overall message here that Simeon gives is a warning both to Joseph and to Mary, although most of it was directed towards Mary. It was a warning of a blessing. That tells us that not everyone gives us a blessing that is good news. Sometimes they give us blessing that is hard, truthful news. Now, and it's so true what Simeon said to Mary. Not everyone was happy. Not everyone was joyful. Not everyone was glad that Jesus was the Messiah. Not everyone is glad today that he's the Messiah. And Simeon put it this way, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed," verse 34. Then he follows up with this, "so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And they were. Verse 35 is true. Jesus was opposed. He was rejected. He was denied, mostly by his very own people. If you recall, from the start of his earthly ministry, the Jews sought to kill him. They did not like him. And so he certainly did reveal what was in the heart of many of the Jews and Gentiles of his day. For Mary, Jesus' rejection and his murder was probably more personal to her as a human being than to any other human being that was on the face of the earth. Because according to Simeon, he would be a sword that will pierce through your own soul. Not words you want to hear about your baby. Not words, not kind. I don't want to say not kind. I think they were kind. They were just hard. They were just hard. Can you imagine the pain that Mary suffered as she watched her son get murdered and tortured on the cross? Can you imagine? Isn't it true? A sword pierced her heart. I can't imagine. But let's also remember that's the reason Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to earth to die. He came to earth to be the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the only way that he could do that was to die. And so he had been born to die. He had been born to be raised from the dead. Remember, we can't have Easter without Christmas. And what did this mean for Mary? This meant that Mary had to suffer like no other woman has ever suffered as she watched her sinless son be murdered for crimes he never did. No other woman can say that. And so what I surmise from this daunting blessing is that not all suffering is bad. Some suffering is good. The Bible tells us, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So this was a daunting blessing that God sent Simeon to warn Joseph and Mary about. And just like Simeon, Christ sends us the same daunting blessing today. In order to be saved, we must first admit we're sinners. In order to be saved, we must first admit that we are broken beyond repair. In order to be saved, we must first admit that we have wronged God. And until we come to that point, God will always be our enemy and will oppose him according to the Bible. But on the other hand, the Bible tells us if we accept the hard, bitter truth, the daunting truth that we're evil sinners, broken by nature, in need of the Savior's forgiveness, then we can receive the grace and the mercy and the love of God. But first, there must be pain. There must be suffering, because only at that point will true joy come. And this is the daunting blessing of the gospel, is it not? And so, first pain and then gain. As one theologian says, Jesus knocks us down to pick us up. And I'm so glad that he does, because only then can we truly have God-given joy. God-given joy. Well, let me close with a little story, and then we'll be set to go home and share the joy of Jesus with those around us. There was an art contest held in a local school one Christmas season in East Texas. And one of the prize winners was a picture drawn by a 9-year-old boy of the three wise men who had come to visit baby Jesus. Now, what was so interesting about his picture, that off to the side was this big red fire truck. And the principal came by and noticed his picture, and he said, "Son, this is a great work of art, but I really don't understand why you put a big red fire truck in this picture." And with his best Texas draw, he said, "Well, the Bible says the wise men came from afar." You know, I will say this, a good funny story can give you a little bit of levity, a little bit of joy, can it not? It really can. But nothing can give us the joy that knowing the Messiah brings. Nothing. It is a down deep, lifetime lasting kind of joy. And it only comes through Jesus Christ. So as we go through this Advent season, let's remember that Jesus is the reason for the season, and he's also the reason for our joy. But let's also remember that because we are so blessed by God with this kind of joy, let's also bless him. Amen? Let's bless him. Before you can do any of that, you must know him, though, as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we want to thank you for the blessing of knowing Messiah as Savior and Lord of our lives. We want to praise you for the joy that we can have in Jesus Christ because we have peace with our Creator. And I just pray, Father, this season that just as the joy welled up in Simeon's heart and came out through his mouth, that the joy of knowing the Lord will well up in our hearts and come out of our mouths. And we will bless you by being joy givers. In Jesus' name, amen.